Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast. My name is Jason Spies. This is a very special feature on Hurricane Harvey and the impact it is having on other shale plays across the United States. Hurricane Harvey is considered the worst natural disaster in history by many, but what it may have caused in damages, it has not broken their spirit. In the aftermath of the storm, individuals, companies, and organizations are banding together to help those who have been affected, and among them is the oil and gas industry. Several companies have already made more than $3.5 million available to assist the American Red Cross, the United Way, and other organizations in providing relief efforts. Others are expanding or opening up existing programs to provide higher matching contributions from employees and coordinating employee volunteer groups to help, especially since the water has receded and cleanup has begun. The Texas Oil and Gas Association has been working with member companies and other oil and gas associations across the country looking for ways to help. The Texas Oil and Gas Association is recommending considering one of the following organizations for those wishing to help with the relief efforts: the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, and the Austin Disaster Relief Network. Now, all of those links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And once again, those are the organizations that the Texas Oil and Gas Association is asking those people looking to help, if they want to do it directly, to go to those websites and donate to the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, and the Austin Disaster Relief Network. Again, all of those links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And now back to our special feature on the impact of Hurricane Harvey on shale plays across the country. We talk with Dr. Lauren C. Scott. Dr. Lauren C. Scott is a heavyweight in the oil and gas industry as well as the economic world. Been interviewed on MSNBC, CNBC, Bloomberg TV, as well as a number of local and national television stations looking to find out more about economics, energy, and how it all works together. This is our exclusive interview with Dr. Lauren Scott. Dr. Lauren C. Scott on the line with us, with Lauren Scott and Associates, energy expert, as well as it's a professor of economics. Is that right? I'm kind of going off the hip a little bit from your bio. What is it that you do at Louisiana State University again?
Well, I'm professor emeritus of economics there. I was there for about 35 years full time, and I now have emeritus status, which is a Latin word that means small interior office. the main thing I do for LSU now is to put out the Louisiana Economic Outlook every year. As a matter of fact, that's something I'm very deep into doing right now, writing that up. So that's the primary thing I do for them.
Okay, great. And the reason I wanted to make sure I brought that up is because I wanted to make sure there was some context with your responses, your answers, and your observations when it comes to the tragedy happening down in the southern parts of the states, primarily Texas, Louisiana, when it comes to Hurricane Harvey, and what that's done specifically with the oil and gas industry. Because when you start talking about refineries shutting down for days and that sort of thing, my first thought is that these shale plays are so connected that it's going to have a ripple effect, maybe not tomorrow, but down the line. Am I out of line for speculating that at this point?
The main thing, I think, is that I don't think that the refinery is going to be down a long time. To give you a kind of a reference point, back when Katrina hit and Rita hit back in 2005-2006, the refineries in Lake Charles, which were the primary breadbasket refineries got hit that time, they were down from August through almost December. They were down a long time, and that's because there was a lot of wind damage. It was like a level 3 or 4 hurricane when it hit the area. And of course, all these refineries are out of doors. All the capital is out of doors, so they sustained a lot of damage. Took them a good while to get back. In this particular case, I don't think they're going to be down a long time. And one indicator is the fact that one of the refineries in the earliest hit area over on the kind of western edge of where Harvey came in, the Flat Hills refinery is already in the process of starting back up. So I think it's hard to tell right now because we don't have a whole lot of, I don't have any damage estimates on the ones in the Port Arthur, Beaumont, Houston area, which is where the real heart of these are, the really big ones are. But I really think that this is going to be a fairly short down period. And part of the reason is I don't think the damage is as bad as from water as it is from wind. And the second most important reason is these companies know that the longer they're down, they are losing lots and lots of money. And that's a great motivator to get out there and get them back up. So I don't think it's any impact it's going to have on logistics, like the importing of oil from up in the Bakken play or from the Permian Basin or wherever. I think it's going to be fairly short-lived.
I talked to Justin Kringstad earlier today, North Dakota Pipeline Authority. He brought up the Dakota Access Pipeline, with that coming on board, certainly opened up quite a bit in terms of opportunities and options, I guess, when it comes to, you know, with the refineries. And the other thing he brought up, or that we discussed, was the pipelines on the rail system, the crude oil being shipped on rail. Over the last couple of years, that obviously decreased, but you kind of have a little bit of a, you know, harvest season happening with this particular incident down south with the refinery shutting down. Do you foresee any sort of a log jam on the rail at all, or with the pipelines opening up some flow to other areas?
No, I think the pipeline's going to reduce any kind of log jam on the rails. Matter of fact, there is a rail car manufacturing company, Union Tank Car, down here in kind of the middle part of our state, and they fairly dramatically reduced their workforce because they weren't needing nearly as many tank cars to haul oil once the pipelines got fixed. You know, you started out having a problem with a bottleneck that existed when y'all shipped your oil down to Cushing, Oklahoma, and you were producing so much oil that there wasn't enough pipeline space to move it from Cushing, Oklahoma, down to our refining network down here. And it took about 3 years, but they reversed one pipeline that was going south to north to move it north to south. And they built a couple of other pipelines. They got rid of that bottleneck. And almost the minute they got rid of that bottleneck, the demand for rail cars went down. So I think any adverse effect of this is going to be hopefully very short-lived. Now, I'm saying that on the basis of very little information coming out about the nature of the damage to some of these refineries. But they are so strongly motivated to get fixed and get back up because of the amount of money involved that I don't think it's going to be a very long downtime.
And we should point out, too, that this interview is taking place while the waters have just started to recede a little bit, and it looks like they're getting somewhat of a handle on it. And I'm not trying to be insensitive about the nature of what's happening down there, but at the same time, looking at it from so much of our economy is based on oil and gas, and the way that it's so connected, I mean, you've heard stories about, you know, some fire happens in the Middle East and all of a sudden gas prices go up 30 cents a gallon type of a thing. Do you see that anything down south in there, either in Texas or Louisiana down there, is going to impact gas prices, say, over you know, the long term? Or is it going to be a little spike and then back down again? Or what do you see with gas prices?
I think it's going to be short-lived. I think it's going to go up some, and it already has. Gas futures prices, for example, have already popped back up. Popped up significantly, and you may even run into some shortages out there because some pipelines are down. And so, you know, some of the Colonial Pipeline, for example, is now not pumping gasoline up to the Northeast because there's not enough being produced out of those refineries because the refineries are down in the Houston area to keep it open. So you may have some short-term spikes in gasoline prices, maybe even some shortages. But I think, again, it's going to be short short-lived. I think you're going to see these refineries pop back up pretty quickly, and you'll have that void filled within a couple of weeks.
Dr. Lauren Scott, Lauren Scott & Associates, energy expert and economist on the line with us, does about, 50 to 100 presentations a year on oil and gas and how it operates in the economy. Just a couple questions left. First off, how's Louisiana doing? You're on the Louisiana side of things, and I've seen where reports about Louisiana. You're kind of down there. What's happening? I know you guys have a lot of natural gas facilities down there. What's going on with your guys' economy?
I was just talking to the people in Lake Charles, which is the most refinery-intensive area of the state. We have two really intensive areas, but Lake Charles is the main one that got hit by Harvey. And all of their refineries are working. All their chemical plants are working. Very importantly for us, too, is the Gulf of Mexico. Again, when Katrina and Rita hit back in 05-06 time period, the winds were very, very high. It was a level 5 hurricane. It just tore the dickens out of all the pipeline infrastructure in the Gulf of Mexico. It upended a big old production platform and took it out of commission. But Harvey didn't do any of those things. All the pipelines are still in place. None of the production structures have been harmed, and I think, very quickly you're going to start seeing production from the Gulf of Mexico come right back on after it had been shut down for a while, because there's been no real damage to the infrastructure. The only tricky thing for our production platforms in the Gulf of Mexico is that I suspect there are a very large number of people in Houston that worked on those rigs, and they may have had their home flooded. And so it may be for a short while difficult to fully crew all of those platforms. So you might see some impact of that. But again, I think most of this is going to be fairly short lived. One of the things we're watching right now, if you look up on a map of the Texas Louisiana area, over on our border there's a great big old lake called Toledo Bend. And at the bottom of that lake, the reason that lake is there is because of a big dam. Well, Harvey went right up that lake and just dumped tons of water in that lake. And one of the concerns was whether or not that dam could hold up. And so what they've done is there's 11 gates on that dam that they have now opened. So there's a lot of water flowing down the Sabine River. There's not a whole lot of towns or housing and that sort of stuff in the way of that. There's going to be a lot of water flowing down the border between Texas and Louisiana from that. And then the final thing I would mention is that if there is any slowdown in our refineries, it would be because for like 48 hours, the Calcasieu ship channel has been closed. It hasn't been closed because it's blocked, but it's the main way of bringing in the tankers full of oil into our refineries. And the reason it's blocked, oddly enough, is because the waves in the Gulf right now are 8 to 10 feet high. And to bring a ship in to the Calcasieu ship channel, you have to put a riverboat pilot on that. You have to have a pilot that brings that boat into the port. And they have been unable, because of the wave heights, to get to transfer onto the ships. But again, that wave action is now declining, and I suspect this afternoon you'll see those 26 ships I've been setting out there start to move in and start to supply refineries again.
Dr. Lauren Scott with us here talking about Hurricane Harvey impacts throughout other shale plays and obviously specifically the Bakken a little bit as well. Final question for you. You touched on it a little bit. I'm glad that you brought up the workers and you mentioned the addition of the pilot, that sort of thing. Employment. Now, there's been a big push over the last 4 or 5 months when it comes to hiring in oil and gas. And then this tragedy happens down in Houston, which arguably energy capital of the world or the United States. Do you see any sort of them... employees, yeah, you mentioned going back to their homes are there, but any sort of community building in addition to the homes where employees might leave and that kind of that ripple of, even the rebuilding part of things. You know, maybe some construction companies will get bids down in southern Texas instead of some of the shale plays. You get what I mean, to where there's going to be a rebuilding process, and it's in Houston. So do you see any of the crossover where it might affect the employment throughout the energy sector?
Well, I don't know. I think you'll see some impact on the employment numbers. As a matter of fact, it would not surprise me if from now through the end of the year, you will see the employment numbers for Houston be down. And they're going to be down, number one, because there's a lot of businesses that got flooded, and it takes them a while to get back, so you won't have people working there. And then secondly, some people can't get to work because their homes were flooded. They have to spend some time repairing that. And so we had a huge 1,000-year-plus flood here in Baton Rouge exactly 1 year ago. And what happened was unemployment was down for like five straight months because people were trying to adjust and businesses were trying to get back up. But now we're growing fine. Our sales tax collections are way up, especially for cars. Okay, because once water gets in those cars, I mean, they're toast, they're totaled. So you're going to see sales tax collections on cars go straight through the ceiling in Houston area. And then, of course, at all the lumber supply stores, the building stores, appliance stores, et cetera, you're going to see a big boost in sales as people have to replace the stuff that got flooded, because you can't save that stuff. It just has to be replaced.
Any final thoughts as we conclude this interview here?
Well, the only thought I would have is that, you know, this is the good old United States of America. As I thought about this problem, I thought about when I walk down the end of my driveway to get the mail, sometimes there will be a big old fire ant bed there. And, you know, these are rascally things. And a lot of times, just out of meanness, I'll kick it and knock the mound down. And I'll come back the next day, and the mound will be right back up. And so when I look at what's going on in Houston and Louisiana, my first thought is that the ants are at work. They're out there rebuilding again. They'll get this place back.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott, or to listen to other Hurricane Harvey Impact special interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And once again, we'd like to remind you folks that the Texas Oil and Gas Association has been working with a number of member companies and other oil and gas associations across the country looking for ways to help. The Texas Oil and Gas Association recommends considering one of the following organizations for those wishing to help with the relief effort: the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation, Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, and the Austin Disaster Relief Network. All of those links can be found at our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, asking you to be happy, and remember, sometimes life can just be crude.